Land of Giants is a new book that brings to life the founders who fought for our independence in the Revolutionary War. Jefferson, Adams, and Franklin are known to all, but men like Morgan, Greene, and Wayne are less familiar. Yet the dreams of the politicians and theorists only became real because fighting men were willing to take on the grim, risky, brutal work of war. We know Fort Knox, but what about Henry Knox, the Boston bookseller who took over the American artillery at the age of 25? 18 counties, this is fascinating, 18 counties in the United States commemorate Richard Montgomery, but do we know that this revered martyr launched a full-scale invasion of Canada? The soldiers of the American Revolution were certainly diverse, merchants and mechanics and farmers and fishermen, paragons and drunkards. Most were ardent amateurs, and journalist, novelist, and historian Jack Kelly tells their story in Band of Giants, the amateur soldiers who won America's independence. The book is published by Palgrave Macmillan, and it's a great pleasure to have Jack Kelly join us this morning. Thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for the opportunity, Joe.
It's so nice to have you here, and this this book is enjoyable. I always love books that are that take a look of a subject that we have, you know, heard endless things about, and yet there's a new and fresh perspective. And this is fascinating because you look at, and I guess obviously it all makes sense that these are young men, they're amateurs, and suddenly how much power they have and what they are able to accomplish both individually and collectively.
Yeah, and I think another thing that's important to recognize, Joe, is that in addition to being amateur soldiers and amateur officers, and if you can imagine that the officers, even including George Washington, went out and read books on how to conduct a war before they started the war, they had an amateur organization. So the British Army had the boards of war and the naval board and so forth, a gigantic bureaucracy that supported the military effort, and Americans had none of that. And they had to really, from scratch, build up the organizational aspect of the Army as well, in addition to learning to fight and learning to lead men in battle.
Well, after 200 plus years, we got over that, didn't we?
Yeah.
You can see pretty good infrastructure now.
And the British made their share of mistakes. In spite of their vast bureaucracy, they made their share of mistakes in the war as well. So it's not a guarantee.
Absolutely. What do you think was it? Let's just look at the title, The Band of Giants. So where does that come from, and what did you want us to take from that?
That was a quotation from Lafayette, who was another one of the really fascinating characters of the Revolutionary War. He came over at 19. He was vastly wealthy, so he offered to serve for nothing. Congress loved that aspect of it. They wouldn't have to pay him. So they gave him an honorary title, Major General, and he, at 19 years old, and yet George Washington recognized the brilliance in Lafayette and put him at the head of a whole brigade of troops, and he performed very well in the field as a leader of men. And he was fighting down in Virginia, the army of Lord Cornwallis, and getting the worst of it. And he asked for volunteers and reinforcements, and from the western part of Virginia came these volunteers who were mountain men. They were essentially hillbillies, backwoodsmen, very tall, strong, rough characters. And Lafayette, who was a marquis in France, was extremely impressed by this. Mm-hmm. He said, "These Americans are incredible. They sent me a band of giants." And I sort of took that in a metaphorical sense and applied it to all the fighting men of the Revolution who were historical giants.
It is, when you think about it, quite fascinating because this is a group of soldiers who seem to fight. And when I was reading the book, and of course, what's going on in the world now, and you think, does this willingness to go to these extremes come from a great desire and pride and belief in the cause?
I think that's absolutely the case. The most important attribute, most important virtue they had was their persistence. They lost a lot of battles. They came very close to disintegrating the Continental Army, but they persisted, and they came back, and they came back again, and they came back again, and they persisted in a cause that they thought was a really something new in the world to fight against the British and to win liberty.
Those physical hardships, I mean, unbelievable.
I sometimes recommend people to get a taste of the conditions in the Revolutionary War to take off your shoes and socks next winter when there's a foot of snow on the ground and go out and walk around your house a couple of times. And I've tried it myself. It's very painful. It's humiliating. And it's no cliche that American troops marched barefoot and left the blood of their feet on the snow, and they did it more than once.
What do you think? And then there's the other side of this, which is you beautifully tell the story of these amateur soldiers and what they have done. And I guess I'm curious, before we get into their stories, as to why they would be footnotes of history and not as well known, given that in several cases, I wouldn't exactly call them turning points, but they're certainly very important points of the war.
Yeah, I think that that was something that was I thought about a lot when I first was getting into the book, is why do people know Jefferson and right. Madison and not know Knox and not know John Stark and Daniel Morgan? And I think it's mostly because the what we call the founders were associated with iconic documents. The Constitution, we talk about it every day. Who wrote the Constitution? Who was involved in the Declaration of Independence? And so their memory has continued on. The memory of the fighting men who really just founded the country on the basis of their deeds. Well, deeds are ephemeral and they faded. They were, at one time they were extremely household names, extremely well known. But over time, reputations have faded, and I think it's a shame in a way because they were a more diverse group than what we call the founders. Mm. They were just a very fascinating group of people. So I think I don't say we owe it to them to keep their reputation in mind, but we owe it to ourselves maybe to understand this aspect of our heritage.
I grew up in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, and so you have the Montgomery, and as I indicated in the introduction, you point out in the book, 18 counties named after this man, and yet few of us know his contributions to the war.
Yeah, in fact, I live down in Red Hook, New York, which is near Rhinebeck, which was Montgomery's home. There's every other street is named Montgomery. And you ask people, and they sort of have a vague idea. It's something to do with the Revolution. The fact that he, a very fascinating character, he had just arrived from England. He'd emigrated 2 years before the war began, but he felt it was his duty to volunteer. He was, I think, tended to be a depressive type of character. He was very gloomy. And he would say things like, well, I'm happy, but my happiness has no foundation. And yet he volunteered. He went to Canada, kind of a desperate attempt to take the city of Quebec, and he was killed there. And at the time, he became an enormous martyr for the cause, and everybody appreciated his character, and they thought that somebody of this high character to die for the cause must mean that the cause has great validity. So, interesting guy.
Absolutely. The fact that the other sense you get in reading the book is that a lot of this wasn't, we document it now in history, but when we, but at the time it wasn't as if it was being noticed. It all seemed to be being done randomly. It wasn't a concise, organized feat, if you will.
Yeah.
Which is another way of putting it, like there's a lot of luck in this as well.
Well, and I think it also makes the story of the Revolutionary War a great adventure story, because right. we talk about the turning point of the Revolutionary War, which is the Battle of Saratoga, and most people around here are familiar with that. In fact, that's not really accurate. The turning point was almost every point. There were so many points at which, if things had happened a little bit differently, it would have gone the other direction. And you keep coming on these, and the suspense builds, and which way is it going to go? And then, we know the ultimate outcome. But as we go along and look at it from the perspective of the people of the time who didn't know that it was going to come out the way it did, it becomes just this fascinating story of, it's a nail biter. It's like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen next? Are they going to be able to survive? And those situations come up over and over again.
What do you hope people get out of the book and warning about these men?
I think that idea of persistence, to bring it into modern times, it's easy to despair. The country's divided, the Congress is doing nothing. It's easy to despair about the country. But I think if you look back and what these people did and what they went through, and they were trying to create a country, that they persisted and they eventually won. We have to persist. And whatever we feel is the cause, whatever we feel is the values that we want to promote in the country, we should persist and keep fighting for them.
Jack Haley's book is Band of Giants, The Amateur Soldiers Who Won America's Independence. I so enjoyed this book. It was a great read, and I thank you so much with us. Jack Haley is going to be at Oblong Books and Music in Rhinebeck on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, the Rhinebeck location of Oblong Books and Music on Montgomery Street. Appropriately enough, and we'll be there at 4 o'clock. You can find out more information by going to oblongbooks.com. Oblongbooks.com for Sunday's event with Jack Haley, author of Band of Giants. Jack, great pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Joe.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.